Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and once again, you are listening to STEM Spots. And with me in the studio today is Dr. Kenneth Brown. He's the department head for economics in the College of Humanities and Public Affairs at Missouri State University. Thanks for stopping by, Ken.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be here.
So, Ken, I've heard a phrase a number of times over my life, which has been curious to me, but now it turns out I don't think I really understand it. And that phrase is, economics is the dismal science. Can you tell me a little bit about what that means and how I might have misunderstood it?
Sure. Most people think that the dismal science refers to economics talking about dismal topics like inflation and unemployment. In fact, the history of this goes back to the 1800s. There was a Scottish philosopher by the name of Thomas Carlyle. And some people think that he used this phrase when talking about Thomas Malthus. Malthus was a writer at the time who was concerned that population growth was going to outpace agricultural production. And so in the long run, we were all doomed to a dismal existence. In fact, that isn't the origin of the phrase. It is Thomas Carlyle, but he was actually writing about slavery in the West Indies. And he was arguing that the plantation owners should force the black plantation workers to be their servants. And he thought that because economics didn't have supporting arguments for that, that economics must therefore be a dismal science.
So it was basically a pejorative comment made by one philosopher against other people who used economic models.
Exactly.
Very interesting. So now you talk about economics as a science because dismal science implies certainly that it is. So tell me how economics is a science for people that might not know.
So oftentimes when people think of science, they think of the natural sciences. They think of researchers in a lab doing experiments. And certainly economics doesn't do experiments to the extent that the natural scientists do. Nonetheless, economists build models, we formulate hypotheses, we collect data to test these hypotheses. So like the natural scientists, we do focus on empirical evidence, we have a peer review publication system, and we're very interested in the repeatability of our findings.
Well, that ties right in with the next question, because economics has always been viewed as sort of describing things that occur outside their own control, coming in after the fact and sort of describing it. But you and I chatted a little bit about something you might want to call experimental economics. So talk a little bit about how economics itself can become an experimental science.
So you're right. Traditionally, economists have focused on what we might think of as natural experiments, where we simply observe how things change throughout the world and then use sophisticated statistical techniques to try to sort out the impacts of one variable on other variables. But more recently, we have economists who are doing experimental work. We have sophisticated mathematical models and theories about how people behave. And more recently, economists are testing those theories in the laboratory setting. One example of this, a simple example, would be something that's known as the ultimatum game. The ultimatum game is a very simple game. You have two players, player one and player two. Player one starts with some amount of money, let's say $100. And player one then proposes to player two a split of that money. Now, economic theory suggests that any amount greater than zero should be accepted by player two. If I offer you a dollar and I'm going to keep 99, $1 is better than no dollars for you, and so you should accept. When we run this experiment in a laboratory setting, what we discover is two things. One is that the player ones often offer something that's quite fair, something close to 50-50. And we also discover that player twos reject offers that are seemingly unfair. Sometimes less than 30% are rejected.
So that almost sounds like game theory to some extent. So this ties in with mathematical descriptions of game theory then?
Exactly. So game theory would build the theories, and then we can use experimental economics to test those theories.
Well, that's very interesting, Ken. I wish we could talk a little bit more, and on the webcast version, we will. Thanks for stopping by, Ken.
Been my pleasure. Thank you.
This is Dave Cornelison once again for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.